We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I think that's Dave Grohl, right? Is that a little bit of Dave that we'll be hearing tonight? Thank you. Thank you very much. Here all, not here all day. Here until 3. And then, we're going to see a concert tonight. See one of the best in business in concert, Foo Fighters. That is one of our early topics, by the way, too. Not Adam's social life and my social life, but what are the concert protocols, the concert experience, the concert things that your friends do or the people around you do? What do you love? What do you hate? Let's go with just a rock and roll concert, Carter, because it's different if it's, you know, like you're big into the opera. So that's a different sort of protocol. So what do people like about the concert experience? What do they not like about the concert experience? Let's just text away on that one, 81807, and we will get to that very soon. Guests on the show today, Judge Ken Starr. Excellent guest. He really would have been an excellent guest 20 years ago, right, Adam? Like right during the impeachment, but he's still a very, very good guest because Ken Starr has finally written with depth on the Clinton investigation, the impeachment, and the book is Contempt. And we taped a conversation with Ken Starr, runs around 12 minutes or so. We'll play that at 12:35. 2:35. Dara makes her regular appearance, and I know she will have a cavalcade of items for us, a cornucopia of items, multiple items. And after trying, excuse me, to avoid the cough, but after trying, I don't know, I bet double figures, Keith Ellison has finally agreed to come on the show. So Congressman and Attorney General candidate Keith Ellison will be on this show at 1:10, and on our Facebook page and also through text, I would like to pose this question. If you yourself could ask Keith Ellison one question, what would it be? If you could ask Keith Ellison one question, what would it be? It's available to you on our Facebook page. We've had a fair amount of reaction on some Facebook posts of late, and I greatly appreciate that.
A lot of reasonable comments, you know, when you put that on Facebook.
I was just going to say.
People not, you know, just keeping it civil and not using any sort of, you know, language, not, you know, keeping it. It's the golden rule when you look at Facebook. It's treat others like you treat yourself, and it's just a shining example of civility in the USA.
Correct. Civility. Yeah. That's it's optional on Facebook, including one of our frequent Facebook and listeners decided to call Hillary Clinton the other day. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right?
You talk about civil.
Yeah, and this is an individual. Yeah. Oh, Leslie Stahl. Excuse me, Leslie Stahl.
Well, then, I mean, it's totally
then I
acceptable.
Get fine. I mean, yeah. I thought it was the other one. Bravo. This is someone who's listened to the show and chimed in a lot and then decided to go, and then Lindsay did what? What did you do?
Banned him.
Yeah, well, that here's the deal. No matter what you stand for or who you agree with or if you listen to the show, there are certain words. Yeah. You're out.
Yeah, so stop with the crap about like, oh, man, see, they don't allow other opinions. Yeah, you act like a jackass.
Yeah.
You got the mouth to prove it. I just, you know, Facebook is the great exposer of just
cruelty,
idiocracy. I mean, people who
lack
just
of intelligence
put stuff up there and with their name attached to it is astonishing to me.
It is. And I received an email yesterday later in the day directed to me towards the Karen Housley comments and said, at the end, this person said, Karen Housley shouldn't have compared her to a chimp, should have compared her to a gorilla.
Yeah.
And sent me an email. Mm. Probably not the right email, right? Or is it? Or just, you know, maybe this person is such a raging racist and so insufficient of intellectual capabilities that he, in this case, at least the name was he, that feels like, yeah, I'll just stand for it.
Well, call come on. I mean, hey, you know.
First Amendment, freedom of speech. I get to say what I want.
Why is everybody so PC? I mean, come on.
What a snowflake.
Be able to say what we want.
What a snowflake we are for calling people out. So, yeah, I mean, and again, you can disagree. You can agree. And if you got nothing, just say, I'm riding my father's, you know, coattails. That's always a good one with a lot of depth.
Nobody tells that to me. And my dad called me. He's a little disappointed. He said, geez, you know,
he said,
a little credit for Bob Carter.
He said, get off my coattails, buddy. because, yeah, in fact.
Actually, it was the reverse with my dad. He got into radio after I did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, stop riding my coattails.
Come on, get your own. You know, I didn't go into car sales.
Hold on. Dad, what should I say here next?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. My people don't realize my father's literally in the room. He's in my.
What do you do for a living?
Yeah. The guy who, by the way, is more upset with me compared to anybody else if I can get a story. He gets more mad at me. So, yeah, that's it. I don't know. I've only been here 28 years, but that's it. So that shows the depth of the criticism. But, yeah, Facebook, you can comment. If you're vulgar in your words, you're gone for good. Hopefully you're gone from WCCO radio for good too. I mean, we had some clown yesterday texting the word retard. Okay. If you use that word on a regular basis, don't listen. Don't listen. Don't ever be a part of it. It's one of the most disgusting things. I just ask you, would you say that to my son who right now is going through, again, significant health issues. Again, he's on the autism spectrum. Would you say that to him? Would you say that to others? So, concert protocol. What do you like? What do you hate? What's your go-to? Carter does kind of the hip swiveling. That's his go-to. So I'm ready for some of that hip swiveling tonight. Pulling the curtain back here a little bit at the station, we have a completely new computer system that was installed last night during the Wolves game. I'm not sure that's the right. Listen, again, it's still the only team I care about. I worked there for 16 years. I'm just the way the Wolves have rolled for 30 years. I don't know, Adam, if this is the right chemistry, if this is the right time to roll out a system during the Wolves broadcast. But so if there's any pauses, things, Lindsay's and all the other folks are learning it on the fly. Ken Starr. In 15 minutes, Keith Ellison at 1:10. We'll get plenty of feedback on the Ellison conversation later in the 1 o'clock hour. Dara at 2:35. Again, we'll remind you about the Red Cross all throughout the day. Among the texts coming in on concert protocol, Adam Carter, for the love of God, sit down and don't video.
No. If you're seeing, you know, Paul Simon in the Round, yes. But if you're seeing any sort of a rock concert or even a don't give me that sit down crap.
This is from a guy who's normally the old man on the show.
It's a rock concert. Stand up.
So I don't know where our seats are tonight. But if the four people in front of us are standing up the entire time.
Then I'm standing up too. I plan on standing up anyway.
Yep.
The Foo Fighters is not one where, I mean, again, it's not like I'm saying, okay, you go see Yo-Yo Ma, and you're going to be standing up, you know, fist pumping.
Is it possible Yo-Yo Ma opens for the Foo Fighters tonight? Can we eliminate that?
Can't rule it out. But
I'm with you. Now, I'm gonna. My default is if we're in seats, because the last time we saw Foo Fighters, we were on the floor. I mean, you left early, of course. I mean, I stayed through and through. But we stood, right? I would rather have the ability to sit down occasionally. However, if somebody is in front of me and they're standing the entire time, I'm totally fine with it. It's a concert.
Right.
It's the Foo Bleepin' Fighters. We're not at Northrop for Orchestra Hall or something. Okay, the recording. I'll go over the story that you love to tell about me because it drove me nuts. We're at a little group that's got a chance called the Rolling Stones. And at the mini bank, not the big bank, but the mini bank, and across from us, there was a gentleman who was FaceTiming what percentage of the concert?
The entire show.
The entire show, while his cheap and lazy friend sat on his chair, couch, I forget, and watched it. Watched it. And by the way, he got up at times. He walked around. So I'm not making fun of someone's physical challenges. Because I was, this will shock you, I was obsessed with
it. Now, you've changed the story, though.
You think
he
wasn't
getting up and walking around?
I saw him get up. He wasn't in the screen.
No, because
the
this has always
time.
Been my argument that maybe he broke a leg or something and couldn't attend the show.
I differ. I don't have the recording, so I don't know.
I think you're changing the story for the benefit of the story on air story, which is fine.
Who would do that?
Yeah.
In fact, he was juggling at times. And all of a sudden Mick and Keith were there.
Yeah.
You know? You can't FaceTime the whole show for your friends. You can't.
No.
Can you FaceTime any of the show for your friends?
Here's the thing.
Good question.
If you, let's say you have a dear friend who's in another part of the country.
Yeah.
Who.
Loves the band.
Loves the band. Or maybe you have a special song with that someone.
Yeah.
And they play that song. Yep. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Lindsay, are you okay?
And you're weeping uncontrollably and
right.
wishing you were in each other's arms.
You speaking from experience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? Are you willing to FaceTime? Like, who would be the ultimate band, rock and roll, right, that you would like to see right now?
Oh, I'm terrible at these questions So, an example, I saw Zac Brown Band at WeFest a couple summers ago.
Right.
And I have a special song with my buddy Joe, who lives out in Salt Lake City. Cold Weather is our jam.
Yeah.
So I don't have Snapchat and I don't FaceTime because I have an Android phone, but I did send him like an Instagram story.
Yep.
But it's like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And I wasn't blocking someone's view to take it. And I think I put like a little heart emoji and said, "I miss you." And that was the extent of.
Were you crying like Adam was with his friend?
I think I was like 3 bottles deep in Fireball at that moment. So, no, I was not
3
crying.
3 bottles deep?
The little bottles.
Oh, 3
No. Holy the little bottles.
Whoa.
Like the airplane size bottles. Because I could put them in my jean jacket and I could walk around.
Whoa.
And I wasn't.
Hazeled in line 1.
Yeah. The little bottles.
Betty Ford line 2.
Don't you remember I posted the photo after I did my laundry from WeFest? A couple of the bottles came out in my my jean shorts.
Wash. All right, more of concert protocol. What is allowed? What you hate? What you love to do? And you don't even care if people hate. We can take a call or two if you'd like. We're getting plenty of texts on this one. Text away 81807 and 651-989-9226. But I'm just learning we have a guest. Who do we have coming up here on Red Cross?
We are going to be talking with Greg Booth. He's one of the health services nurses who is working at a shelter in Panama City with the Red Cross.
Fantastic. We'll talk to Greg coming up. We've had 2 major hurricanes in this country in less than a month, including what took place in Florida last week with winds 155 miles per hour, third most powerful storm to hit the country of that type. And the Red Cross, as always, steps up. And so let's talk to an individual who is helping out in an area that has just been devastated. Greg Booth is kind enough to join us, one of the health services nurses at a shelter in Panama City. Greg, thanks for coming on. Thanks for your help. What are you seeing today at the shelter where you're helping people out?
Greg here. Actually, I'm in Panama City Beach. We moved our shelter yesterday. We left one school and we came to another school in Panama. We were in Panama City. And we're in Panama City Beach today.
Okay.
I've been on the ground for about a week. There was a lot of devastation. Homes, businesses, trees. Panama City was hit really hard. And now here in at this current location, you know, the devastation isn't near as bad as it was in Panama City. We're here. I'm actually a retired paramedic from HCMC EMS.
Okay.
Working in the health service division, and we're meeting our clients' needs. We have over 200 clients in this shelter, and a lot of them have healthcare needs that we're helping with.
Can you give us a general idea, some of the medical needs you're helping out? I'm sure it's there's a variety, but is there anything that stands out over other medical issues right now?
No, I think most of the clients we're seeing have ongoing health problems, you know, not related to the storm, you know, diabetic patients, heart patients, and of course, a lot of patients that are just overwhelmed with the whole situation. You know, they lost everything. They may have had some ongoing problems, and the storm just, you know, made everything worse. And we have seen a few injuries that were storm-related that we're, you know, helping with addressing changes and, you know, just ongoing maintenance of their wounds.
Greg Booth with us. We're trying to raise awareness and raise money for the Red Cross. Another thing we want to point out, the need for blood and platelet donations to help meet patient needs. With Florence and Michael in such a short period of time, that forced the cancellation of close to 300 blood drives, causing approximately 7,500 units of blood to go uncollected in this area. You reached out. You're helping. Greg, what would you say to our audience in an area it sounds like you know to get people to either pick up the phone, to go online, to text, to try to help people out?
Yes, there's a number of ways, like you just mentioned, phone calls, website. You can contact your local Red Cross chapter. Whether it's monetary donations, blood drives, everybody needs your help, and everybody appreciates your help. And people down here, clients, are just overwhelmed with the generosity of the Red Cross, local communities, the Red Cross workers that come from across the country to be here to help them out. Yeah, just do whatever you can.
Greg, most importantly, thank you so much for helping out. I know the people down there greatly appreciate it, and I appreciate you coming on the air.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Greg Booth, foreign paramedic, as he said, knows this area well, moving from Panama City to Panama City Beach. Let me remind you how you can help out. You can call a 1-800 number, 1-800-542-9226. You can go online to WCCO.com, or you can text Red Cross, all capitalized, Red Cross to 90999. Again, Red Cross, make it one word, all capitalized, to 90999 to make a $10 donation. Before we take the pause here, let me get to a few more texts here. We were talking about concert, things that you love, that you hate. Every concert has lots of people kicked out because they pregamed and are also drunk. They are a menace to others. Yeah, that is an unavoidable problem. Adam, have you ever been kicked out of a concert because of too much pregaming?
No.
I'm with Lindsay. How about those three bottles of Fireballs that you had? Did that cause you
to... Fest. That was nothing compared.
Adam, three full giant bottles of Fireballs.
A gentleman did call in before we talked to Greg down in Florida to tell me a story. He and his significant other were traveling to and from the stage. I don't know if it was at WeFest, but some sort of
outside
yep. festival, you know, where you camp. And they were on a shuttle bus, and he turned around, and a younger gentleman was urinating on his significant other's leg.
Hey, some people enjoy that sort of thing.
Including you, you've shared that before. You know, I mean, listen, who wants to go in everybody's bedroom? How would you feel about that, Adam? You look back and all of a sudden. How about tonight, you look over and a guy's urinating on my leg? I think your first move, I know your first move. You couldn't
film
stop
it.
Laughing.
Well, I'd film it. I would FaceTime that.
Exactly. Would you rather see your favorite band at an indoor arena or outdoor in cold weather, unless it's really cold.
That's what I'm saying. It depends who the band. If it's a nice, quiet band, you want to, band, you're going to be moving around and staying warm.
Now, we're going to the X tonight, right? And the X is, and give Target Center credit, they have improved noticeably. In my view, they're still not to the X. But if you told me, like, tonight, when it's going to be, about 55 at Showtime? Yeah.
Bring it on.
Outside. Let's see. 37, not old by any means, but if I pay for a seat to a concert, I expect to be able to sit in it. Sit your butts down and enjoy the show.
Jeez.
Saw Pitbull in Vegas, and every freaking person stood the whole time.
It's Pitbull.
Come on, Mr. 305.
Dale.
Come on. it's Dexter. I think Rerun should have had his charges dismissed recording the Doobie Brothers on his Shoebox recorder. Shoebox. Yes. As I said, what's happening?
Yeah, was that a storyline and what's happening?
I think it was. You can't vape inside the X. Oh, yeah, there'll be no smoking in there tonight.
Yeah, that's the thing. The concerts I've been to, it's like people smoking the doobage all over.
In front of security?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've seen people smoking in front of cops before.
That's almost.
I've also seen people light up a cigarette. They're immediately, hey, put that cigarette out.
Yeah. Oh, then, hold on. I got a doobie for you, though. You know. Yeah. They'll be vaping everywhere, pretty much every concert, including you told me when you saw Pavarotti.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you brought the big bong out, and Luciano himself came up.
Right.
Let's get to Ken Starr when we come back after traffic. Weather, you want to give us a quick news item? Adam says no.
Oh, I have
sponsors. Oh.
I said yes. You said no.
Oh.
I can't believe you dismissed me like that.
Okay. And Lindsay's got how are you feeling? Give us a 0 to 10, your confidence in the new system right now.
If management is listening, I'm an 11.
If they're not,
I'm like a 6.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody, on this Thursday afternoon. It's a pleasure to be joined by Ken Starr. He has a book out now that I think is highly anticipated by a lot of people, and people have been wondering if books such as this would come out. Ken Starr's book is Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. You have talked at times about the investigation, but you had never, ever written with depth and length in this manner about the investigation. Why was this the right time?
Well, I think it was the right time, both historically. We were coming up when I embarked on writing Contempt on the 20th anniversary of the impeachment proceedings, and those were, of course, very historic. My personal circumstances were such that I had the freedom to turn to the project. I'd long been encouraged to write the book, but the circumstances for me personally weren't exactly right. And then Hillary lost the election. So the combination of those circumstances brought me to the conclusion, it's really now or never.
If Hillary Clinton wins the election, would that have affected your decision to write the book?
I think it would have, shall I say, I would have calculated that, right? Is this the right time and so forth? But, of course, she did not do it. So it was essentially clear sailing. No skunks at the garden party kind of thing. So I'm very glad that I was encouraged over the years to take the time to do that. It was, I think, helpful for, I hope it will be helpful for the American people to understand the true story.
You were appointed independent counsel on August 5th, 1994. Let me just ask this question personally. Considering the effect it has had on your life in so many ripple effects. If you could go back to the days leading up to the appointment, would you still say yes?
Yes, I do believe that we have an obligation as citizens to answer the call if we possibly can. I sure would be a lot more mature in understanding the ramifications, including just the sheer length of time that the investigations took for a variety of reasons, including the fact that the investigation that I inherited had many different dimensions to it. It wasn't simply the Whitewater land deal, the death of Vincent Foster Jr., Webster Hubbell's, the Associate Attorney General's, fraudulent billings, Governor Jim Guy Tucker's fraudulent bankruptcy, by which he became quite wealthy virtually overnight. So there was so much going on in the investigation that Bob Fiff, my predecessor, had undertaken, and I was stepping into his shoes. I just didn't realize how big those shoes were.
There has been criticism at you and also at Robert Mueller, as he looks at the president, that these type investigations, there are clear differences, let's acknowledge that, but that these type investigations are too open-ended. You answered that a little bit in your last answer about there were multiple things. As someone who lived it, who observes what's going on with Mueller, and who sees the divide politically on the investigations, whether Democrats are here or Republicans are there, are you comfortable that smart, successful attorneys, yourself included, should begin this, and if they're led another path, that's fine, or should we narrow the cast a little bit?
These are judgment calls that are being made, in my case, by the Attorney General of the United States, and I think that's, again, one of the things that I cover in the book that is just not understood by the American people. That is, when I embarked, I'll come back to Bob Mueller in just a second.
Sure.
When I embarked on the Monica Lewinsky phase of the investigation, I did so with the complete authorization of Attorney General Janet Reno, Bill Clinton's Attorney General. And so, too, now today, when Bob Mueller launches an investigation or picks up an investigation of, say, Paul Manafort or what have you, those activities under the Department of Justice regulations that are in effect are approved by the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein. So my point is there were checks and balances in place, and there still are checks and balances to prevent that, which I think we all should fear, which is a prosecutor simply roaming around the countryside looking for anything and everything that he or she can possibly find. That was not the case in Whitewater, and it's not the case today.
The man we're talking to is Ken Starr. His book out, Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation, looking back at what riveted this country 20 years ago. You write that the former president, Bill Clinton, acted in a manner that he was above the law. Give me a couple of the most noteworthy examples where Bill Clinton as president or Bill Clinton as governor acted in a way that the law would not affect him.
Let's begin with the Paula Corbin Jones investigation, her sexual harassment case. And we hear a lot about that these days, right? So this is an important civil
yes.
right that all
mm-hmm.
human beings have to be free from these kinds of indignities, and so she had claims, and they needed to be tested in a court of law. He said, I'm immune from lawsuit, and the Supreme Court of the United States rejected that 9-0. He also was eventually, my second example, was found in contempt, and thus the name of the book, by Chief Judge Susan Weber Wright, a very respected federal district judge in his home state of Arkansas. And then in the Lewinsky phase of the investigation, the Clinton team, it also included the Justice Department and the Department of Treasury, invented something, a contrivance that had never even been claimed in the history of English and American law, the so-called protective function privilege, all designed just a contrivance to keep Secret Service agents from providing their testimony. And the courts uniformly, he got not a single vote to suggest that law enforcement officials who had a protective function should somehow be immune from the law. So over and over again, going back to the Arkansas phase of the investigation, he, in ways that I chronicle in the book, acted as if the rules don't apply to him. And the same thing from Hillary Rodham Clinton. The rules just didn't apply to them.
The book is Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation, available to you now at all the places you get top-selling books. Ken Starr is our guest. So you are an observer in this case, but you are someone with great experience in this. As you see the Robert Mueller investigation, the limited aspects that we know, but then you see how the president and his team of attorneys is reacting publicly. We don't know all the things that are happening privately, and we shouldn't. Are you seeing examples where you believe President Trump and his team are trying to stay above the law?
I haven't seen that. I do wish the president would leave aside the rhetoric, but essentially two tracks have been followed simultaneously. The important track is what I see as the cooperation track. That is, there have been no indications, there have been no litigation that I know of with respect to the right to of Bob Mueller and his team to documents and testimony. And something that was really extraordinary was outgoing White House counsel Don McGahn provided 30-some-odd hours of interview testimony. That's just almost, well, it is. I think it's unheard of to have that kind of level of cooperation. So that's one track. But at the same time, the president and some of his lawyers are attacking the prosecutor, the mantra of witch hunt and so forth. And I wish the president wouldn't do that, but he does. He marches to the beat of his own drummer.
If your team does not get a phone call from Linda Tripp about what she knew about Monica Lewinsky, how do you think the investigation would have ended without that information coming to light?
I think it would have come to light somehow, because Linda Tripp was also, unbeknownst to us, feeding information to Paula Jones's lawyers.
Sure.
And so issue of the president's relationship with Monica Lewinsky did come out at the president's deposition, where he was under oath to tell the truth. And by the way, for folks to say, oh, well, somebody's going to necessarily lie about a private consensual relationship, let's leave the power structure aside of a very powerful man and a very young intern. Leave that aside. But the very idea that someone, namely the President of the United States, was encouraging others to lie would, in fact, have come out at some stage or other. If it hadn't come to me, it would have gone to someone else. And, of course, I would have been at Pepperdine University, where I served as dean a lot earlier than I eventually got there. But the truth comes out. Truth has a way of finding its way to the surface.
Last thing on someone you know well, now Justice Brett Kavanaugh, and you are very well aware of what took place. Let me ask you this specific part, because when he gave his testimony, I did not fault his anger. I felt like a lot of people in that position. But I was concerned when he went down the route a little bit of a conspiracy that revenge for folks supporting the Clintons and the anger over the President Trump's election and this pent-up anger. For those who are open-minded, not just those who are just no matter what against Justice Kavanaugh, but for those who are open-minded and we want judges to call balls and strikes, should they be worried in any way that he was so affected by this that when Democrats in any way appear in front of him, that he directed so much vitriol in that way that it could affect him?
No, I don't think so, and I understand that it was a very emotional time. He was defending his honor. There, of course, was no corroboration. I've never said a word, I hope I never will, against Dr. Ford. But, you know, I've been so involved in the Innocence Project over the years, and the whole idea is, you know, people are wrongly accused and are wrongly convicted. And so I think what we saw was his moral indignation. But we already now see him, to come to the nub of your question, as a justice, there is a member of the court. He sat those 2 days asking questions and so forth. I think he is able, because he's a person of great integrity and great determination, to just set this aside, put it behind him. That was a political process. He's moved across the Capitol Hill lawn to the Supreme Court of the United States. He has now a judicial role to fill. He's filled that role brilliantly as a Court of Appeals judge. So it's sort of carry on as before. The nightmare is over.
Ken Starr, I really appreciate the time. The book is Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation. If anybody is a student of history, they should pay attention and read this book. Again, thanks for coming on, and I wish you only the best going forward.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Ken Starr, again, the book Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation. Back in moments on CCO. Your Linda's construction time check is 12:56. Time to stop the water in your basement with LeafGuard brand gutters. When I needed to change my roof because of a storm, I went with the fine folks, Andy Lindis, and they did a tremendous job. I want to remind you that we're going to chat with Keith Ellison at 1:10. It's available on Facebook, and also you can text here. If you could ask the congressman and the Democrats candidate to be the next attorney general one single question, what would that be? Text away 81807 or facebook.com/Chad Hartman Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.